This is tape recording number 7203CO2, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 2nd of March, 1972. It is Establishment Officer Series numbers 3 and 4. The title of this lecture is Evaluation and Handling of Personnel. This is the second of two reels. Copyright 1972 by L. Ron Hubbard in the United Kingdom. Copyright 1978 by L. Ron Hubbard in the USA. All rights reserved. Unauthorized duplication, translation, importation, and distribution is a violation of applicable laws. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Now, normally, you don't offload somebody unless the terms of his contracture or his staff application form or his contract has been falsified. And you'll find out the bad off ones have normally falsified it anyhow. They have certified that they're free from debts and they owe $10,000. They certified this and they that, and they certified that and they this. There'd be something wrong in regard to that. Well, you're not looking for loopholes, but there is a time when you can hold up a guy just so long. A time comes. So where you have people who are parked in this particular sector, get them handled. And if their disappearance is off post and they're this and they're that and the other thing and the nonsense that goes on, if they also are generating tremendous amounts of devti, you're much, much better off to put them into a category where they can function and get better, and where they can be supervised directly on simple jobs. The treatment of bad off people, not just the insane, anybody that was bad off in any way, shape, or form was called insane in another year. Back in 1846, they were all insane. By the way, there's another category. There's another category entirely, and the person is just a bad, he just lives a weird, oddball life. You can do something about that. He never goes to sleep and he doesn't eat, and he burns his candle at both ends, you know, that sort of thing, and so on. You can cool him off, too. You can tell him, look, I listen to you. You go to bed tonight and get some sleep. I want to see you bright, shining, and bushy-tailed tomorrow. You would just be amazed how often you have to do that. In other words, he's something you can do somebody about. He looks like a bad administrative risk. You see, on the administrative scale, he just looks like a bad risk that he ought to be processed with an inch of his life, unless that ought to be happening. You do a little breakdown, you say, you're doing this, you're doing that. You remember, put things on it like you get sleep, and what do you do at night, and you know, that sort of thing. And all of a sudden you just find out a guy, he's not eating the things he should eat, he's not sleeping when he should sleep, and he also has some habit or another. If he just loves cream cheese, and it kills him. You know, you find out some weird thing. Why, you just put him under orders and say, do so and so. Well, usually that's your first action. When a guy's goofing off, and you can't get him to produce, and you can't get him this and that, you're trying to handle this bird, your first action is just to handle it. You just directly, you know, boom. That's always your first action. You tell the guy. You look into it, you find a little why, you tell the guy. Now we're off onto something else. I've talked about evaluation personnel, I'm not talking about handling it. Your first action is tell him. Now here comes R. An establishment officer has got to learn this horrible little fact, that when you tell a person the truth, and not in any nasty way or otherwise, you get GIs. It's an interesting thing, but a Commodore's messenger is trained to run a message back and forth until he's got GIs. Why? He'll get GIs if he's hit the truth. She'll get GIs if she hits the truth, if we've got the why. A student that passes and deserves the pass, told that he has passed, has GIs. A student that passes and deserves the pass and told he hasn't passed gets BIs. Bad indicators right away. Why? It's not the truth. You'd say, well, gee, that'd make the guy feel great. You know, oh, no, it doesn't. Now, a person who hasn't passed honestly and is told he hasn't passed honestly will have GIs. This is strange, and people really don't believe this. But the way you get GIs is with the truth. Let's say you've done a little meter rundown on this guy, or you talk to him, or the most casual thing, and you find out that he's got three girlfriends simultaneously. He's promised to marry two of them. You say, boy, you have got yourself in a tangle, the like of which I have never heard of. Now, the thing for you to do is get it straightened out right away. Tell them. All right, okay, I will, yeah, GI, see. He knows he ought to. See, or whatever it is, see. If you hit the right way, you get the GIs. And the first thing to do is just tell them to do it. Tell them to straighten it out. That's it. No monkey around with it. Don't go shilly-shallying on the thing. Just tell them. Once you've got some kind of an idea, you know what you're talking about and so forth, you tell them. Now, if you don't got GIs on this, it isn't right. It isn't that he's a bum, recalcitrant, doesn't agree with you, that he's just a dog anyhow. You see, you go off immediately when you find the right, wrong why. You go off into, you tend to go off into accusing the guy. You just didn't have the right why. You think it's because this guy's drinking. And you say, now look, lay off the booze, no more of it, see, that's it, no more booze. And so forth, and BIs. You say, well, of course he would have. You get the reasonability of the humanoid starts coming in. The cultural reasonability will get you wrong. Well, of course, if he's told to lay off the booze, why do you have? That isn't what's wrong with him. You know, you've missed. So, you better find out. You better find out, just like that. Now you see, an establishment officer has no business inquiring this deeply into people's lives. That'll only happen to an establishment officer who doesn't find the right wise. People love to have their lives inquired into, actually. It's a great relief. But the psychoanalyst is not liked in this degree because he finds the wrong why. He's indicating the wrong why. Psychoanalyst, idea of the psychoanalyst using Dionysus, gets him down the track, finds out that he was mad as a baby at his father when he failed to change his diapers. So, while the guy is down the track, he says to him, now, the reason this, what's wrong with you is you hate your father because he didn't change your diapers. The guy goes out and spins. You think I'm just pulling a long bow? No, that is actual, that's an actual case, little history. And started trying to tell me, well, it really works, you know. He did hate his father because of the diaper change. But I've never gotten him to remember his childhood before. So Dianetics is okay. He never did it. He didn't run the thing, and he didn't go for earlier similar, and he didn't find anything else in the first place. He already knew what was wrong with the fellow because he hated his father. Maybe the guy didn't hate his father at all. You see what I mean? So know before you go, find it, indicate it, say, look, do it, give them the order, that's it. It doesn't matter how you find the information. So the first action is the straightforward one of telling them. If you get GIs, you've got it. If you didn't get GIs, you haven't got it. You got it? If you didn't get GIs, then immediately find the right line. Actually, there is a Class 8 who is drifting around the ship right now, who has probably not had the right why found. And she feels very gloomy. We came close to it, but it was too much to work with. Too many chances, too much devity, too many snarls on the lines, too upsetting. And it was interrupting production to a degree that you just couldn't keep straightening this body out. because it was wrong every day. Get all straightened out, next day it's all wrong. Next day, straighten it all out, it's all wrong. And the next day, you straighten it out, and it's all wrong. And the next day, you straighten it out, it's all wrong. Wow. This becomes an auditing problem. There's some deep-seated something wrong. Now, what do you do with a person like that? You leave them on the lines and beat your brains out and begin to hate the human race? Nope. We got the first case. You find out what it was. Got GIs, you told him. He did it. See, that's right, that's straightened out. This is a perfectly lousy, horrible staff member that's never worked before. Now he, all of a sudden, he's working fine. See, that's great. Next one, you find, you tell him, you search, you do work, and so forth, and you keep at it, and you patch it up, and so forth. And what you're really trying to do is get central files filed, you know. And next day it's wrong, and he still got them out, and he put them down, and he'd taken the orders from a dock worker, and he... And the next day, he's generating debt. And there's something you should know about this type of individual, and this is one for you to write down on the inside of your forehead in letters of fire. If they generate debt for you, they are raising hell with everybody else around them because you're the expert and the other people around them aren't, and they can't defend themselves against it. And they're trying to work in the middle of all this howling noise. If he generates devti for you, if he's hard to handle, he is hell on other people's lines. You are only getting a small portion of what he is handing out elsewhere. And when you're training executives, it is the most remarkable thing that that simple remark to an upper-level executive will bring in the most stunned look and then say, you know, that's true. You will get a considerable reaction. They had just never occurred to them that the guy who was generating DevT for them on their post, back down the lines and out of sight, has got his staff tied in knots. All right, this guy you can't handle. Well, you could give him a comment or something and offload him and so on. But there is another way to handle this. And you can salvage personnel. And it is well worthwhile to salvage personnel. You don't carry it to extreme lengths. You give them a chance. And you always give them a chance. Now, if in an organization, if you were working, let us say, in AOLA or someplace like that, you should have an organization called a project force. It would be the estate project force. Now, that isn't just somebody assigned there. Well, let me show you what will happen with one of these. If this isn't handled correctly, the most remarkable things will happen. You assign this guy to state project force until he can be processed and remedied in some way. The most remarkable thing will happen. People will use that as a personnel pool, and they put him right back in the org. You get him over there, and they put him right back in the org because they're short of personnel. They look on this thing as a personnel pool. Well, people who are just coming into the org could also come in through an estate project force. So there's an estate project force, category A, which are people who are just coming in and getting in their basics before you let them onto a post. And then there's category B, those who have had a chance and are put back there until they're handled. Well, the category B's, you better not let those back in on your lines before they are handled. Now, in 1846, the psychiatrist, or the alienist, they called him then, they didn't have psychiatrists yet, he simply kept the person employed and exercised. And employment and exercise and a bit of a change of environment and something to do will do remarkable things with people. It'll extrovert them, it'll handle them most remarkably. If in the meantime he's over there going up through on his part-time study, his basic courses and that sort of thing, and getting his hat on, getting his fundamentals on, and so forth, well, he can have another chance. You find out that you will bring a lot of them out that way. So there should be some such unit. But if it's handled wrong, now let us say we treat the guy who is just coming into the organization, we put him on an estate project course, and there he is, and he does his part-time study and his basics, and then we just leave him there and we forget him. See, the idea can get around that you don't take anybody out of the estate project course. The guy will get parked. If you bring him in as an HCO expediter, you will find out he's immediately sneaked onto a post untrained. Nearly all of our major post failures here have occurred when a recruit came to Flag who had no training and was immediately put on an organizational post. He had no basics. It was the most uneconomical thing you ever heard of. Four of them put on such a post as a menial files, 8 months later had accomplished nothing. They had wasted that whole 8 months. They just didn't have any basics in. Now, if you just let that stewards project force, or deck project force, or engineer project force, or something like that, wander around and be put on posts and given hats, the whole thing is defeated at once. Immediately, you get a defeat. So it is a one job, one place, one time. And when that one job, one place, one time is violated, then you will not get any result from your action of ordering somebody to the estate project force until case and study are handled. It takes an MA of that division or section in charge of that force. They usually work on projects. Somebody scribbles up a project for them. Do this, do that, do the other thing. You know, paint the this and polish the that and refloor the this and move the that. Now, these guys are actually then doing productive work, so they are not a drag on the organization. You got it? So this is the one place, one job, one time thing. But a person who is part of that division, that is to say, like you take a deck division, the deck has got to furnish a person who then is designated as an MA. He works with them, and he musters them, and he keeps them working. If he's in stewards, then a steward who is a regular member of the stewards force is with them and telling them where to work and what to do and furnishing their supplies. You got it? Now that is what is known as a project force. And a project force is not something where you just throw some people, so on. It is a run thing because it's valuable. You will eventually get some people out of it. Now the person A who comes into the project force, when he comes into that project force, when he's got some of his basics in, he's got his basic SO member hat or his SS1, his SS2, this sort of thing, he's got those basics studied in his part-time study, he could move up into the org and be hatted, or he could move up straight into the force where he is part of the project force of. Now he is a posted post. You move him out of the project force into the division of which he is a project force. Do you get the idea? Now he can be posted as a post. You'll find the people in that division will normally attempt to scramble all this up in their anxiety to get personnel. Their anxiety to get personnel is a method of spreading dev tea throughout the entire organization. The next thing you know, every plate in the stewards department is broken, and you look back on it as to why, and you find out that there had been 15 people at one time or another sent to the stewards project force in order to recovery. You find out they didn't study, they didn't get any auditing, they didn't do any work either, but they simply got posted as stewards. You got it? Stop. The whole stewards department will disintegrate. the chief steward is doing her nut and starting to scream at people and wants to shoot people out of hand. You got the idea. It's a wild and horrible scene. So there is a way to salvage people. You don't just conmove them and fitness board and offload necessarily. If they're too foggy, if it is just too difficult, if there just isn't any possibility of ever, and this guy was falsely contracted to come in, and he was obviously a PC. We just had a guy who had DFT scattered through this whole ship. He's 7 months overdue from a leave he was granted. Suddenly right in, he wants to come back now and join the ship, and so on. And there wasn't an auditor in the joint would audit him except one. He wants to come back because he's ready for more processing. You get where we have now the PC, the difference between the PC and the staff member. If your staff is involved in the business it's involved in, it is handling the world. And believe me, it's got no time to have PCs within it. It also is handling. Because it won't make it. The amount of devotee would engulf it, interiorize it, and it will not be able to function. So there is your category one. The first thing, that is the guy, is he all right, isn't he all right? All right, he isn't all right. I have given you the methods of establishing that he isn't all right. And I've given you the methods of handling him when he isn't all right. And if you look these things over, you'll find out that it's a sort of a standard tech, like running ARC straight wire on a PC. It is standard administrative tech. This is what you do. Now, category two, the guy's perfectly all right and so forth. You're going to train him and up along the line, you're going to have him and you're away. And the next thing you know, well, you've got a division that's functioning and everything is fine and the guy can be added and he goes to study and... rat-a-tat-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat. What you're going to bog on is that category one. Now you could actually, as an establishment officer, get totally fixated on this. We had an establishment officer on the trainee level do this. He got fixated on one staff member who couldn't do his job. And he spent all of his time in that division trying desperately to get this fellow hatted and to get him to do his job. It was the reward of a downstat, and when he wound up, he didn't have a division. You see this? Now, do you know that a CS can get fixated similarly? He doesn't do the normal steps to give himself trained auditors. He sticks. He just keeps writing them, let us say, he just keeps writing them, writing them, writing them notes, writing them notes, writing them notes, writing them notes. The notes are getting crosser and crosser. There's more and more adrenaline, the stuff that makes people angry, getting into glandular fluid, getting into those notes. He's stuck. It's like he's got a three-part process, and he keeps running part one, part one, part one, part one, and he never runs part two or part three, and so, of course, the PC never recovers. The situation isn't handled because there's three parts to the process. Now, I'll show you how wicked this can get. So the CS, who is a training officer, and one you will have to train, dinner later you will have, you're fine, and you'll say, well, my God, the man is a class 12 or something. We know all these things. Oh, yeah. An auditor very seldom knows anything about administration or administrative procedures. That is one of their weaknesses. Just because the guy is a class 8, they make him an HCO exec, but he's never cracked a book on the subject of the standard tech of HCO. In other words, they didn't get an HCO area secretary and they lost an auditor. So you're going to have such guys because that thing will occur. Now, it's a very terrific thing when you've got a guy who is a high-class auditor who is also a trained administrator. Whoa, wow, this is bombs. This is great. Terrific. But it can get lopsided. You can also have a staff member who doesn't even know the ARC triangle. And yet he knows something about administrative tech, but he's falling on his head all the time, all the time, all the time. And he finds out he doesn't know the ARC triangle. In other words, he didn't know some tech. He didn't know some HCOBs. And you'll find people on administrative posts say the HCOBs don't have anything to do with this. And you'll find the people on the tech posts say the HCOPLs don't have anything to do with this. And you'll find both conditions. So here's this CS, and he isn't making auditors. For somehow or another, he can't make auditors. And he keeps telling them, and he will tell you if you're trying to have him establish this thing. He will tell you, but I just keep, I tell him everything I know. I insist on it. I send him to ethics. And sometimes, and or, but I do. I follow the rules. I keep sending him to cramming and sending him to cramming and sending him to cramming. As a matter of fact, right this minute, I only have three auditors auditing because all the rest of them are in cramming. Now this CS is stuck on step two. He's done one and two, but he hadn't done three. And he will keep doing one and two, and one and two, and one and two, and one and two, and two, and two, and he's just going down the spout. He isn't doing the whole procedure. The third one is retread. So we instruct him. Sure, you're perfectly willing to write an auditor instructions a few times. The next one, you're perfectly willing to get this guy, you're perfectly willing to get this fellow crammed. Yeah, we're cramming. You got a good cramming officer. He finds the why the guy goofed up, and he crammed him, and he did everything you said, and the guy came back on post, and when he backed back, he crammed him again. He's got a good cramming officer, brilliant cramming officer. The whole HCC just caving in. Because he's forgotten the third step, retread. You cram, and you cram, and you cram. And you say, this one ain't going to make it. This is a retread. Now, a retread's a specific thing. It is just a method for, which is just on the meter, finding any misunderstood word with regard to a specific piece of material. Word clearing. Very, very high level tech, and very easy to do, and one that you yourself should know how to do like that. What in your hat don't you understand? Too broad a question. Is there anything in this PL? Is there a misunderstood word in this policy letter? You've tried to get it in. You can't get it in. Is there a misunderstood word? You get a read. You say, what is that? Hey, clear it up. That's it. Boom. That's right. It's not a method to. It doesn't interrupt auditing. It doesn't ruin his case. And it doesn't upset CSs. So, the guy fails to send him the retread. And retread simply consists of finding the method for of this particular body of materials. They usually give him an examination. And the specific body of materials and so forth, he doesn't know anything about. So they take that whole body of materials and they make him redo it. And they method for it. Misunderstood word and a misunderstood word, and they clear it up, and the guy restudies that, and he polishes up this other thing that he doesn't know much about and so forth, and he comes back and he starts auditing again. All right, so we're willing to instruct him this time. We instruct him and we'll write him CSs which are okay, and then we'll send him to cramming, and we'll send him to cramming, and we'll send him to cramming, and it's getting too thick again. What happens this time? Do we shoot him? No, we send him to retrain. Now, what's retrain? Retrain is the entire course as any green student would take it from beginning to end. An auditor's allowed one retread, one retrain. That's it. That's all anybody is willing to spend. Remember, it's expensive. You're spending coins. You're spending auditor coins. You're spending supervisor coins and so forth in doing such a thing. You are spending something when you handle the personnel, or when you order him to be handled. You're spending coins of supervision, coins of auditing, and so on. You're spending the coins of the org. So don't always spend them on the same guy. Now, you will, sometime or another, I hope this doesn't happen to you, but it possibly will. Yes, as an establishment officer, you'll get into a position where all of a sudden you find out the third step is missing. They've never done it. Yes, well, we couldn't ask them to retread because it would ARC break them. We found out the other day, we never send the guy to cramming because it might ARC break him. How about all the PCs he's ARC breaking, you see? Don't think of those. Buddy on anything. Not auditors, they just never have retreaded anybody on anything. And you find out they've all been to cramming, and they've 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 been word cleared, and they've been cramming, and they've been chitted, and they've been given courts, and they've been yelled at and given courts and sent to cramming. It's the third one's missing. They never got retreaded. And what's normally missing? It is a missing gradient in study. And it has to be found. They can't learn for some reason or other, or they can't do for some reason or other. And nobody did send this guy to get him to do. Nobody sent him to the Stewards Project Force. Nobody sent him to the Deck Project Force to get him to do something, to be able to confront mess, to be able to be there in the universe instead of just sitting there figure. Thing. Nobody got him exteriorized. Nobody extroverted him, made him look outward, reach outward. Nobody made him do this. And the whole thing is backlogged. And you're in the horrible position of having to send three-quarters of the division for retread of their hats or retread of or Stewards Project Force, and you haven't got any division at all. That's it, gone. What do? You send them. Heroic, isn't it? Well, if you emptied out stewards to that degree, you wouldn't have any food on the ship, so there's got to be some sense employed there one way or the other. Product officers start screaming like that. But you could work out something by which one went at a time. Or two went at a time while the crew was fed food that was burned. Or you get the difficulties that you've run into. Well, actually, what you do is you just get the people there to cope like mad. You just shoot them. If any dead tea occurs anywhere, you say, these are your lines, this is your job, let's see some production on the job, and you start peeling the guys off one after the other for retread. In other words, you hold it by Fort Main, which means just main force. That's it. Yep, that's it. You gotta do it. That's it. I'm sorry. I know it is tough that you are not permitted to go up to the sun deck every day and study. But your job right here is peeling potatoes. So I'm sure you can do that. Now you can find a right why, and you can spring it out. Now your expertise is really put to the absolute limit of test. Now you really got to be expert, because you're handling people who long since should have been retreaded, who should have been. You'll find people scattered around who have never done any basics. They don't know why they're there. They haven't got any orientation. The first thing to conclude about them wrongly is that they are malicious, that they're insane, and the wrong thing to do is instantly shoot them. I'm giving you ways and means by which this is handled. The right thing to do about it is figure out why, get them on post somehow, and they've never done their basics. Well, if you can spare one who has never done his basics, and there's only one, you're very lucky. Immediately send him back to do his basics. Get him over into the Beck Project Force, Stewards Project Force, something like that, State Project Force, you know. And get him to do his basics and so forth and come back on. That's fine. But what if you had nine people in the division and you had eight of them like that? Now you're really in it. You really got to be on the ball. You need every piece of trickery that I've been able to teach you to get the guy to say something to you so you can now find out. It's not, you're not tricking him into anything. It's beyond. You got to be on the ball. So don't think that you won't evaluate anything. I would say the number of evaluations that you would do in a single day would be a very, very light day of evaluations if it fell down to 4. 20, yes. But this isn't the type of evaluating that you do by writing it all up and writing up a big program. You do your evaluation, you've got the why, you say a little plan, and you, boom, that's the order. Roll up the sleeves of those gloves. You got it? Now you're handling human beings, and they have feelings, and HENR is definitely a commodity. Human emotion and reaction is definitely a commodity, and when it is wrongly handled, God help us, it is correctly handled by finding rightwise, by indicating the correct action, and by being very forthright and never being reasonable about it. Once you found it, that's it. Now you'll get some people that this doesn't work on. Obviously doesn't work on, because they don't better at all. But you see, you're right back there to the guy who is a sort of a PC. Now you have to decide, what do you do with him? What's he going to do as a sewage project for us, or where's he going to go? How's he going to do his basics? So on. Because this is an auditing situation. Now this is going to be requiring handling in depth of a being who is way off the rails. He's so far off the rails, you won't be able to make it. Because he's basically out of communication, he's other purposed, he has problems, he doesn't even know he has. After auditing him for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, the auditor finally comes up with the guy finally comes up and realizes that he has a problem all the time with his mother, but his mother's been dead for 20 years. In other words, you're looking at aberration. You're not looking at insanity. Aberration is just the basis of outpoints. I probably didn't make that too clear to you, by the way. There's the insane, the PTS, and the aberrated. There are three categories of being which produce non-optimum behavior. They're three entirely different things. The insane, you detect them by graphs and behavior, and so on. The PTS, they, by the way, cry a lot. Weird, and go up and down, and look hollow-eyed, or sometimes on a different emotional band, they suddenly go antagonistic, and then they're nice, and then they're propitiative. But it's weird, not optimum behavior. PTS. And then aberrated, the guy thinks it's perfectly all right to pour the baking powder down the funnel. He's just aberrated. He's got outpoints. That is handled with an HC list. It's called an HC list because there was one time going to be something called a Hubbard counselor. And it's still got the list, and it's an outpoint list, and it's simply assessed. Where's this guy got data series outpoints crossed in his skull? And it'll make him look very stupid. So there is this other category. I should outline those three to you very precisely. The insane, he'll pull out the rug. PTS, he just is on everybody's lines. The aberrated, he'll make stupid errors that you won't believe. The insane will make errors that weren't errors. He knows all the time the right way to do it. But if he does it this other way, oh boy. He fortunately is fairly rare. Now, these are your three categories of that lowest grade personnel. You move up the line, you haven't got anything to worry about. You haven't got anything to worry about at all. Now, stupidity and the essence of stupidity can not only be produced by outpoints, it can be just missing data, but that is another thing, and that is the guy who isn't trained or had it and has missed his gradients. He does not know what a potato peeler is. He never checked out on the thing. You see, you run into that all the time. That's normal. But what it is omitted technology. Now, you right now are dealing with this whole field of omitted technology, where a staff is generally unhatted, their technology has been omitted. It isn't that it didn't exist, it's just they didn't study it. They didn't read it. So anybody whose behavior is peculiar falls under this third category. It's an outpoint situation. He's just an outpoint situation. It's omitted data is the outpoint that you're looking at without study. So they fall into those three categories, the insane, the PTS, and the outpoint. Outpoint can also be other things, you see. The guy can actually be aberratedly outpoint. He actually believes that a proper number sequence is 2, 1, 3. And he will really insist to you that it's 2, 1, 3. And you say, no, it's 1, 2, 3. And you say, no, it's 2, 1, 3. But this, you might not detect this, but in his communications and so forth, he's giving you a 2, 1, 3 every time he turns around. His skull has got an altered sequence of events. He was educated and then he was born. You see, and then he started school. And then he quit his job and then he was hired. He just got his time track all kind of. He thinks in terms of outpoints. And that's simply that. That's simply that. The simplest of these, of course, is just that the omitted technology, the omitted study. And you had him. And you're that one. Is the one which bridges into the second type of administrative personnel. In other words, he can be trained, he can be hatted, he can do his job, he can be brought on up the line, and you're in category 2. So those three actually bridge from the most serious, the insane, to the PTS, who is simply connected with somebody who is insane, to the person who has actually got something outpoint with his skull, to the omitted data, which is just hasn't been trained, and you're into number 2, so you start hatting him. Now, if you're very, very lucky, the majority of people you will be dealing with will be these second types. They just need to be hatted, need to be told, go to study, sit right here and read your hat, confront your environment, and so on. Your normal technology, like a breeze, just fits. Where it doesn't, you yourself have missed a gradient on the PC. Now you start going back into it. Now you can start looking up tests. Now you can do this, you can do that, you can do the other thing. When you're hiring people, you will just, save yourself the most enormous amounts of trouble if, at that point, you don't take on a PC. Yes, I'd love to work for the organization. Yes, do you suppose I could get my grades right away? You say, well, these applications are just sent out and we're sorting them out and you will be informed in due course. You just don't consider it any further than that. You're dealing actually with personnel. You're dealing with the personnel acquisition, and you're dealing with personnel correction. You're dealing with personnel sort out. you're dealing with people, and you're dealing with them at a different level than an auditor deals with them. You're dealing with them more at the level of the Jesuit priest dealt with them. He was trained to take the world as it is. God meant the world to be used as it is. I'm probably committing a terrible travesty and simplification of the Jesuit. But I was told this once. But this, you got the guys, there they are. There they are, yep. They're not hopefully tomorrow. They are there now. These are the people you have. Now you can say, well, let's give it all up and get an entirely new division. But it's up to you to get the people who are there now, as they are now, functional, doing what they're doing. Now, you only have to drop back to the degree that they can't do a straightforward job of hatting, that they don't do a straightforward job of this and that. Now you're dropping back to this other category. Now you're dealing with people as you hope they will be. Well, how long can you hope? Can you hope a day, a week, a month? How long can you hope? Now, with auditors, you're going to have to hope several months. So therefore, the recruitment of auditors is something that has started early, way ahead of any time anybody thought it should be started. And you will still always be too late. So when you look at this guy, you're looking at a hope. But you walk into a division, you take what is there now. What can we do with what is here right now? That is your first thought. Now your next thought is hope. How do we hope they will be, and what are we going to do to make that hope come true? And that is your upgrade toward the ideal scene that is done on hope. And many of the losses which one is has to be willing to experience in this particular line of country. And I would call to your attention the Russian advice and the way they teach school children. Two steps backwards and three steps forward still makes progress. Which is pretty good. You're only having a bad time if the frog crawls up the well 2 inches at night and falls back 3 in the daytime. He will eventually get out of the well, even if he crawls up only 3 and falls back but 2. He will still get out of the well. So if you go in under the basis that you're going to win on every single human being that comes along the line, you are being an optimist, the like of which has never been seen before, for the excellent reason there are many other stresses at work in the culture. Many other stresses. There are other stresses at work in the organization. You may be trying to hold the fort to make something out of this guy, and you've got somewhere up the line, you've got a deputy CO or something like this who is absolutely certain that this person is complete poison, and he has had lots of experience with this guy, and he wants him shot, and he wants him shot now. How do you do it? What do you do? What do you do? Just so forth and so on? No. Instead of just bucking up and trying to protect somebody obsessively or something like that, you ought to review the situation and then see what can you hope for. What hopeful look can be put on this thing? All right, well, I would act accordingly. But I would make a sound recommendation. I wouldn't just bluntly defend. Say, well, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing with this guy, and so forth, and so on. You will get into collision this way, but you will only get into collision when the people you are handling are not effective, and the less effective they are, the more collision you will get into with the rest of the organization, not with just seniors. If you have a very, very, very ineffective treasury, or a Department 7, and it is terribly ineffective, and you're not going in a dead run to, listen, guys, you know, and let's get that, and you take that and get this stuff in, and let's get the payroll out this week so the crew isn't waiting for 2 hours in line to not get paid. Come on, come on. You know, let's really do those actions. Let's get the information on the thing. Let's figure out how this is done. Let's really learn to do the right actions here. And then let's do those right actions. Let's get the bugs out of this line so that you actually can make files, so that you can work with them. Let's have some files made here, you know. This is how you do it, so forth. Well, next thing you know, they're just being collided with like mad. The crew is colliding with them. The crew is yelling and screaming and yapping at them because they haven't been paid, and et cetera, et cetera, and wow, wow, and they're nasty to them at dinner. And, I'm going to put a deputy chit on you. You didn't pay me last time, so... So you're already dealing with kind of a losing game if you yourself don't put a hope factor in it to the division themselves. So you've got to get them to put a hope factor in, not just you. You've got to get them to envision a little bit more of the ideal scene that they can envision. Now, if they finally get it smoothed out, and they finally are producing, they finally are doing what they're supposed to be doing on post, their morale will go right on up. They will win. And if you guide them well and do the standard things to handle them, why, these guys will win. Now, I'm talking to you right down at the grassroots of personnel. Somebody is new at this business. He says, well, all I do is I go through action 1, 2, 3 in order to hat this fellow. I get his hat compiled. I get it in his hands. I get him to read his hat a little bit. I get him producing on post and that sort of thing. And it isn't working out. Every time I turn around, he's gone from his desk. Why? That's your first evaluation. Now, be prepared to find out anything. And when you do find it out, handle it. It'd be very lovely if that was all there was to it. You see, you just compile a hat, you get a hat, you get some personnel, you brought aboard, you put him on the post, you tell him what he is, and that sort of thing, and you give him his hat, and you tell him to study it, and he's all set, and now do a little bit of your hat, and so on. It's all going forward, and you're winning, but... When you hit that hard bump in the road, you can't find him at the desk, and he seems to be holding the pack upside down, and the productions on the post are all backwards, and the payroll is all written wrong, and you're hearing flack from somewhere. Don't get discouraged, because that is the way life is. Just train yourself to expect that, without getting terribly cynical, but know at the same time what you can do about it. You can find out why it's going that way, and you can remedy it, and if you find the right answer to it, it'll straighten out pongo. And that it turns out, and this is the beautiful fact, this is the gorgeous fact, it turns out that the amount of malice at the bottom of all of this is so slight that it can almost be disregarded. That's fantastic. Do you know that you have to have handled, you'll find this someday in your experience, if you haven't hit such a thing already, you will have been handling this group. They're antagonistic, they're apathetic, they were sullen, they resented you somewhat. They knew you were trying to help them, and they think that's nice of you. And it's just, he can cut the place with a, he cut the air around the place with a knife, don't you see? And it'd fall apart. It's that heavy. And all of a sudden, through your brightness and your investigation of this and the data which you've accumulated, and through your own increasing command of policy or something, you all of a sudden, like dawn came up, you say, these cats are, you know, the lie. Wow. See, that's it. That's it. And you investigate it out just a little bit further. Is that right? Yeah. And do you know, it'll break your heart, really, sometimes. It is such an innocent thing. There was no malice involved in it. And yet these cats were acting like a lot of hoods. They were just so hard-driven in this outpoint situation that nobody, much less themselves, had ever been able to unravel. That they just sunk into looking very malicious. Their human emotion and reaction was expressing at every hand unwillingness to such a degree that we totally believed they must be unwilling. They were not willing. Nobody upon their right mind. You find it, can you just, either with a single staff member or with the group of them, you all of a sudden got it. That's it. It brings in their GIs. You straighten the thing out. The program you're doing to handle it is highly acceptable. And zing, 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 zing. But the main thing that you will find out about all this is there was no malice there. And I just wish some of these birds who used to run slave plantations and guys like Napoleon that used to run armies and the heads of some of these totalitarian states might do a little study on the data series and get a little bit able at finding out what was which and where it went in and where it went out and how to unravel these things, because they would have found out that man was not an evil beast. It's the inability of the Catholic Church and the inability of the Methodist and Anglican and other faiths to unravel the why that lay behind human emotion and reaction that convinced them utterly that man was a sinful being that was born in sin. He was conceived in sin, born in sin, and would die in sin, and that he was evil. You can see them now on the rostrum platform shaking their fingers at their congregations and how they were evil sinners, and they were all sinners. That's just all. Never had the right why. So, your own future morale, pursuing a line as an establishment officer, actually is greatly dependent on your ability to penetrate a situation and discover a correct why, and the definition of a why is something that will move something higher toward an ideal scene, and your reward will be the total certainty that you are not handling malicious beings. Thank you very much.